chats from the Blog Cabin.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Hey guys, it's Melissa. We're going into the busy season. I myself am really getting into the busy season. I am literally drowning in work because I'm not going to complain because I'm truly blessed. Things are falling into place. The things that I've wanted for so long are falling into place for me, and I'll share more about that later. But going into the busy holiday season, that's normally when we get most stressed. And this year is a little bit different for holidays for us. It's because my mom passed away in August, and that's the reason why I took the big break. And I told you I would tell you about it later, and I will. I'm going through the whole story. But now I don't feel the need to kind of compensate to make up for the fact that we were never invited to Thanksgiving and Christmas in the last couple of years. So now that she's passed, I honestly feel like there's a weight lifted off of me that we're going to do something different this year going into the holidays. It's Thanksgiving week. For those that celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. For those that don't celebrate Thanksgiving and just get together with family or whatever, you know, do whatever you do, and do what feels best for you. For us, it's going to my daughter's house and getting takeout. We don't know what's going to be open. We don't know if it's going to be Chinese food, pizza, whatever. We're just going to go with the flow and just have a very chill day. We're going to take the dogs and we're just going to chill out and relax and just be with family, the immediate family. The oldest daughter isn't going to be with us, but the other two will be. But I thought it would be appropriate for me to do a particular episode about creating calm during our busy holiday hustle and bustle. We're going into the most stressful time where we're dealing with family members that we may not necessarily get along with, or they may cause us a lot of stress. We're also dealing with, you know, the gift giving and the hosting parties and all this other stuff going on. And, you know, sometimes we need calm. We need to just know that it's okay to stop and take a breath and catch our breath and just say, I need a few minutes. And so this is what this particular episode is about. I have Elaine back on. Elaine's been on before and she is back on, and she's at the very end. She does a meditation with us, and it's just an amazing episode, and I hope you enjoy it. And the next episode after this is going to be about protecting our children, because even though we're getting together with families, and unfortunately I don't want to think about it this way, but there are some family members that take advantage of small children. And so I felt like these next couple episodes are really important about how we protect ourselves, protect our children, and protect ourselves physically, protect ourselves emotionally, and how we protect our family as well. So I hope you enjoy this episode.
Come join Melissa and her guests on the Chats from the Blog Cabin podcast. From North Carolina, this podcast will have you feeling like you've known these folks for years. Listen in as they chat about life, culture, current events, and more, all with a special Southern flair. Curl up with your favorite beverage and get ready to be entertained. Tune in now for a unique experience that's fun and insightful.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Chats in the Blog Cabin. You know, the show where I virtually invite people into the blog cabin to chat about life. And today I'm honored to have Elaine back on. How long ago has it been since you've been on, Elaine?
You know, I think it's got to have been 6 months. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And she's the author of the book Everyday Soul Dances. But when she came on, before, I told her I'd love for her to come back on and talk about creating calm, because that's your whole focus, is creating calm in the world, but also creating calm during the hustle and bustle of the holidays, because the holidays are quickly coming upon us. And sometimes we get so frazzled too during the holidays as well, that we sometimes forget to take a moment to take a breath and be calm and be still. And so you're going to give us some great tips about that. But first, you know, remind people who you are.
Well, that was a synopsis of what my book is and what we're going to talk about. So my name is Elaine Holm, and I currently live in Reno, Nevada. I have three grown children. They're all in their 50s, so they're not children anymore. But when they were born, I was living in Austin, Texas. And I had three boys within 3 years. Mm. So I'm very familiar with being a mom. And also, I was a single mom for many, many years. So I've had the challenges of how to do this. I didn't always do it well. I know so much more now, and hopefully that'll come through. I also, my career was as a marriage and family therapist. So for almost 50 years, I got to work with other people with all kinds of conditions and families and individuals. And how do we heal? How do we live our lives better? Deeply honored to have known all of these people and to have been a guide. And so this book is actually, I'm no longer in a therapy office. So the words of the book are as if I was in a therapy office talking directly to the reader. I moved to Carson City when my kids were young. And then, in 1999, I moved to Lake Tahoe and lived there for 13 years. I lived right across the highway from the lake, and I lived in the right next to the National Forest. So very, very beautiful, quiet, peaceful, amazing place. While I was there, I started hearing the words of the energies I call the divine feminine. And so it's like the female, the feminine aspect of God. And the words were all about how do we become more soulful? How do we become calmer and quieter within ourselves? And the other message that is throughout the book is that this God, goddess, consciousness, whatever we want to call it, honors us so much, supports us so much, and sees us, every one of us, as having a very relevant place in this world today. We're all unique. We're all similar. But our uniqueness is important because if we take out you, take out me, then there are holes in the fabric of the universal consciousness. And so the idea is to stand up within ourselves for our importance and the unique ways that we have to take care of the other people in our lives, and also to do the inner work that we need to do in order to grow spiritually and psychologically and in loving ways. The other part of my journey all along these many years has been that of a yoga practitioner. So I started doing yoga when it was first coming in a big way to the United States. And I've embraced the philosophies that we're all one, we're all connected, we all have karma to release from the could be other lives, it could be this lifetime. Nearly all of us have many damages in terms of what's happening with us while we're growing up, and all of this needs to be healed. So the book is a combination of what we can do psychologically and what we can do spiritually in order to manifest our very most beautiful, brilliant versions of ourselves.
And that's so hard because a lot of people don't think that they are allowed to be the most beautiful versions of themselves. A lot of people think that where they're at right now is all they're going to get. They don't think they're allowed anything else. So what do you say to someone who is thinking like that?
Well, we think like that because of the messages we got when we were little or somewhere along the way. So those messages are not true. Mm-hmm. But they're the best that our parents or caretakers could do at the time. And they're extremely damaging. If we stay stuck in that and we believe those things about ourselves, we're not going to grow and we're not going to manifest our beauty. You see, and that's where the ideas of becoming calmer, doing work on yourself, like in psychotherapy, practicing yoga or going to retreats that remind us of who we really are. You know, when we're thinking like that, it's kind of like crazy thinking, but there's no blame. It's because this is how we were raised. And some people stay stuck there for a lifetime, which is very sad, but it's okay because they'll have a chance to undo that in another time, another lifetime. So I always encourage people to look deeper at what they believe about themselves. And in the therapy office, we always have great opportunities to correct all that. So that's a really cool thing about therapy.
Now you have your book with you, and I know that I put you on the spot last time, but do you have a section of your book picked out to read?
Oh, well, I didn't. I can find one really quickly.
Okay, we're going to get to commercial break. Well, actually, two commercial breaks. And then you, but when we get back, you okay. can read from your book.
Okay, good.
Imagine having a tool that unlocks all the secrets to your body. All those times that your body has tried to communicate with you, and maybe you've listened, ignored, or maybe you didn't even know that your body was talking to you. This tool will change your life. And all you have to do is click on the link www.betheglow.com/Melissa, and you can download this guide for free. It's My Body is My Compass guide, and it will teach you this one tool to be able to use your body as a guide, as a compass, to always know what your body needs in any given moment.
Are you ready for an exciting adventure in the world of do-it-yourself projects? Join me on market.live and get ready to be inspired by the DIY show hosted by yours truly, Melissa from Chats the Log Cabin. This is your chance to unlock your creativity and bring your imagination to life. Imagine the satisfaction of transforming ordinary objects into something extraordinary. Get ready to learn new skills and discover how easy it can be to create something unique that reflects your own personal style. The DIY Show is here to guide you with every step of the way, providing you with tips, tricks, and ideas that will make your project a success. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Grab your friends, family, or even your furry companions and tune into the DIY Show on market.live on Mondays at noon Eastern Standard Time, or you can catch the replay. Together, let's unleash our inner artist and embark on a journey filled with joy, inspiration, and endless possibilities. Get ready for a show like no other, where creativity knows no bounds. See you there. And we are back with Elaine. Before I put you on the spot, before we went to commercial and asked you to pick out a part of your book, are you ready to read part of your book?
I am. One of the chapters, well, here's a picture of the book here. And one of the chapters is on the yoga of prayer. So my prayer that I wrote down, put in the book is, open me, heal me, show me the way. May I be fully surrendered to your grace-filled ways. May your ways, your words, your wisdom always move through me. May all people be healed. May all of us open to our highest potentials. May I know only love. May I love many, and may I love deeply. Namaste.
That is some really great tips right there, just in that little section that you read about. What drew you to pick that particular part for today?
I just opened up to a book where I saw some italics to pages that had italics, and there was this prayer. And then there was also a much longer poem that came to me when I was sitting at Lake Tahoe one day. And I think that's a little long for what we're going to do today. So that's just what happened. And I'll add one more thing, and that is the Namaste prayer. It is throughout my book. It's the beginning page, really. And it's an ancient Indian greeting, and we have lost so much of the truth of this today. And I love, it's my favorite word in all the words I know. I love for all of us to get it. I was talking in a book reading at a senior citizen center in this tiny town in Nevada a few weeks ago. And there was a woman from the LDS church. And I said, I'd like to share a greeting with you. And she said, oh, it's Namaste. And I love the idea that somebody from another religion knows these words. And that's what's happened in the last 40 years in the West, is all of this is more available. So this is the prayer, and feel free to put your hands in front of your heart if you would like. Namaste. I honor the place in you in which the entire universe dwells. It is a place of love, of light, of truth, and of peace. When you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, we are one. And I say that to every single listener who's on the call with us today. Namaste.
Just talking to you and listening to your voice is so calming, but not a lot of people have that voice. Most of the time, even the voice in their head is not calming. So how do we create that calm? How do we, especially during the time when right now the world is like going really crazy, and holidays, Thanksgiving is upon us, and Christmas is coming, and then New Year's, and then everything else. What practical tips can you give for us to create that calmness within us?
They're all here.
They're all there.
I'm very pleased with the way I've lived my life, because I had a lot of wounding as a child. But I've determined to take such challenges and turn them into growth. And so it's a lifetime journey. It doesn't happen overnight, except when we start practicing meditation. And meditation, and we'll do this towards the end of the hour, takes us to our deepest selves. And that's when we become quiet. So the more we can stop, you know, all of this stuff, especially right now, it's so easy to get caught in that. You know, as a single mom, so I had buku experiences with that. I was also practicing yoga, which helped. We forget that we're spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings having human experiences. That's not taught so much in the Western world. It comes from the yogic philosophies. And so when we think that we just need to rush through our lives and create all this stuff and cook all day long, be worn out at the end of the meal, deal with crabby kids or whatever it is we have to deal with, if that's all we think we are, we're going to be exhausted and saying, I never want to do this again. Mm-hmm. It's just like our lives get to be too much. But when we remember that we're beautiful, we're part of the sacred fabric of the universe, that there's a spiritual center within us in addition to all this other stuff that we do. We're always going to have ordinary challenges. I'm 83 years old and I still have challenges. Really? This happened to me last night? Okay. But stay stuck there. So the book is to invite people to enter into a whole other realm. And then from this quiet center, do the things that we need to do. I advocate, before you go to sleep, to make a list in your mind of all the things you want to do the next day, and then refresh that list in the morning. I always make lists. They're like this.
Yep.
And I may get 1, 2, 3, none of them done because of the way my life goes, but it's out there, but it's not the complete context of my life. Mm-hmm. So if we can remember that we're spiritual beings and that we're acting all these roles to do our lives, then we make a commitment to do each one as well, each thing as well as we can. And at the end of the day, if we made some mistakes or whatever, we forgive ourselves, repair the damage if we can't, and then go on again. You know, we don't be stuck in, oh, gee, I'm a terrible person because I did this today, you know?
You said the big word that I think a lot of people deal with, and that's forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, forgiving others. I think society now, people don't want to forgive. People want to remember what the wrong's done to them, and they want to hold on to them. They don't want to let go, and they don't want to forgive people for what they've done. So, and that creates a lot of chaos. So how can we go about forgiving, especially during the time right now where people are going to get together with family members that they may not especially get along with, or the family member rubs them the wrong way, or the family member may have said something that they didn't mean to say, or they said something not realizing how it's going to affect the other person. How do we go the concept of forgiveness as going into the holidays?
Well, it takes a lot of self-reflection and contemplation, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And as long as we see ourselves as I'm the right person, the good person, you're the enemy, we're stuck.
Yep.
In this book, there are chapters on forgiving yourself and different ways, you know, like forgiving yourself if somebody hurt you and you're hanging on to that, or if you were abused as a child. Forgive yourself instead of thinking you're this terrible person, which so often happens. And then there's another chapter on forgiving the other, even if that person is no longer available. And you're right about today, you know, the horrors and the way we treat each other, and that there are enemies and they count for nothing. It's horrible. So one of the things that I did in the book is my son and I recorded, now if you can see this, 2-hour codes, and they lead to meditations, and there are meditations on forgiving. And so at the end of 9 chapters in the book, there are meditations, and I think we keep doing this and doing it and doing it until it loses its charge, you know, the emotionality. And we want to be neutral at the very least, you know. It's like, okay, this is my life. That person lived his or her life in these ways. Is it my problem? Probably not. Or maybe there's some amends I need to make, and that's good too. Or letters to write and burn if the person's not available. There are many, many ways, and these are all in the book. You know, it's a lot. But even if that's the issue for a person and they pay attention just to these chapters and practice, then we will do better. At the end of each chapter, I have a page of contemplations so that the words of the book have to do with how does it apply to my life, mm-hmm. very specifically. All this takes time, it takes work, and it's the very best way that we can't go through life unconscious and expect changes. We change when we change ourselves. And I'm sorry?
I said that is so true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, and we have complete control over that, which is beautiful.
Yeah. So what happens to like say you've changed, but the family member or the other people in your life haven't recognized the change in you, but you know you've changed. Do you know the way you react to certain situations are totally different than the way you used to react, but they still don't want to see you as that person that's kind of evolved, that they still want to see you as like maybe the baby sister or the girl they grew up with or the person they grew up with, and they don't want to see the adult that you've become. How do you go about, I know you can't change a person's perspective of you, but how do you go about making sure that they know you're not that person anymore?
That's such a great question. You live your life in the best way you can. And see, the other thing about being spiritual beings, we're energetic beings. So our energies spread out beyond us, like putting, like throwing a stone in a pond, you know, the ripple effect. The energies touch people. You don't have to say a word. You just live your life. We may need to set boundaries if a person like that continues to treat us poorly, we might need to say, I'm sorry, but I can't do this right now. Maybe we can revisit it some other time. But we don't have to stay caught in that dynamic. We won't stay caught in that dynamic if we've already made the changes. We'll be challenged. We might get caught in it for a little while, but we don't have to stay there. So if we're doing our reflections and our journal writing and keep doing our meditations, that's all we can do. And I really believe in the effects of the energies. I have a brilliant 19-year-old grandson, almost 20, and he's completely ADHD. And he brought his girlfriend over to my house the other day, and he gets on my couch like this, and he says, I am always so peaceful here. He doesn't believe a thing that I say about spirit or sacredness or any of that. It doesn't matter. That's his head. But he comes here for healing. And so we also will choose other people to hang out with oftentimes if we don't want to keep the irritability and the angst of negative relationships. We don't have to stay caught in them.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you use the other word that I was going to ask you about, boundaries. I mean, we're flowing right into it. How important are boundaries? Because a lot of people don't believe in them. A lot of people think, oh, I've set boundaries, but nobody, they people just run right over. I think it's because they don't set strong enough boundaries.
The clearer we get about the fullness and beauty of who we are as a human being, the easier it becomes for us to say, well, this is good for me and this is not good for me, so I'm not going to participate in it anymore. And I think we live that way. It may be a very different life it certainly will be a life without so much chaos. Mm-hmm. And that's part of becoming more spiritual, because we need the quiet. We don't, the chaos is not productive. And sometimes we feel people pulling on us energetically, you know, and at the end of our time with him, they were just like so drained. Well, that's probably not a healthy relationship for us at this time. We may revisit it and it may be fine, but the clearer we get, this is good for me, this is iffy, and this is definitely wrong, it becomes, it's okay. I mean, why, we're our own authorities. And if we do, if our guiding principle is to be calmer and to be more loving, then that's who we are with the people who want to receive us. Mm. And there are going to be people who can't.
Yeah, that is so true. Now, how do we go about finding our quiet? Because you've mentioned that several times, you know, quieting your mind, quiet. I know you talk about meditation and we're going to do one at the end, but is there other ways? Is there like tangible ways that people can find their quiet, like carving out time, doing things like that? Some tips that you can give.
You ask the greatest questions. They're so fun to answer. I was thinking about that earlier this morning, actually. We probably have many different ways, and what is good for you may not work for me at all. And a good example of that is the different kinds of yoga. Like, there are a lot of people with a lot of energy, and they do very well with the Ashtanga yoga, which is very fast moving and energetic, and it's like this big workout. I couldn't do that. So when I do yoga, I practice the holding patterns, and you know, that helps me. But for that other person, the other kind helps her. Being out in nature, being like, I garden. I just had this little patio, but my garden's amazing. And so that's really healing for me. You know, getting away from the computer is really important for all of us. Walking, running, hiking, swimming. You know, I think we can ask ourselves that question. What is good for me that calms me down? Talking to a friend that we admire who can listen well and then make good suggestions, that can be a huge relief. You know, there are many, many ways. Going to church, even going into a church and sitting quietly, you know, and that depends on, you know, your own religion and your own special places. Or creating a calm space around you at home where you have your own altar. So that there's always a center that says, come here and heal yourself. It's within, it's also without.
That is so true. Now, I have a lot of people that listen that have kids, and they're going to say, I don't have time to do that because I have like 10 million kids running around. Not really 10 million, but you know, because you got one asking for one thing and one asking for another, and then one asking for another. And then the husband comes in and, or the wife comes in and says, what's for dinner? And then get through the whole. So how, as a busy parent, can they find time to get that quiet time, to get that centeredness and calmness?
Well, if your kids are old enough to understand, you can say, I need a 15-minute break. I used to do that when I came home from work, and they were home from school, and I had dinner to fix and all the other stuff. And I would say, okay, I hear you, I'll get to you, but I'm going to sit here. I'm going to drink my glass of wine and relax for 15 minutes, and then we'll do these other things. So that's one way, is to take a time out. It's not always possible in the midst of being a parent while it's going on. However, when the kids go to bed and they're asleep, that can be our time, and it should be our time. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of people will get up earlier in the morning than the kids get up, so they have that time, you know. And I recently wrote an article for mysticlivingtoday.com. And you might want to write that down because it has so many great articles by all these different people. And I'm writing a column, and the one I wrote for October is Rushing, Releasing, Relaxing. So the whole idea is, I'm feeling totally stressed out and crazed because of all the demands on me, but I'm going to take 3 minutes, go inside, breathe. Breathing is so important. There's a whole chapter in the book on breathing, because when we're uptight like that, we're breathing from the third, the smallest portion of our lungs, smallest third of our lungs. To calm and relax, we have to breathe down by our abdomen. And just changing, being aware of our breath and then changing it. You guys are acting crazy, but I'm going to take a few minutes out. Mm. And so this article is about just sitting still and being quiet for even a very short time. And if we can do that two or three times a day, we remember who we really are, that we're spiritual beings, and all of this other stuff is what we're going through in our ordinary lives, and there's more to the story. And it helps immensely just to take time out like that. And then when you have time, take longer periods to write, reflect. How can I do this better? What do I need to say to this kid? What kind of help do I have to ask for from other people? You know, there's so many, we forget to ask for help so often. You know, our society expects us to be super men and women and completely unto ourselves. And I've been thinking about that during my life. And watching my 19-year-old, he's trying to handle everything himself. And of course, at 19, everything's chaotic. It's like, please ask for help. You know, it makes a huge difference. Sometimes that's all we need to relax. We're not super beings. We never will have all the answers.
Why do you think it's so hard for us to ask for help? Because I am guilty of that, I know, of asking for help. And we just assume that people should know to help us when it's like our ego gets in the way because we're like not supposed to ask for help. We're supposed to do everything and be all for everybody. So why is it so hard for us to just say, take a breath and say, hey, help me out here?
I think we're raised like that in our society. I mean, you go to school, you become competent, you get good grades, you get a good career, you get a good, you know, there are all these beliefs about who we should be. When I was young, I did not know to ask for help. When I was a teenager, I fortunately had a couple of friends where I could, that I could rely on. And that made a difference in terms of my choices. So the Western society does not support that. You know, we're supposed to become competent, even though our schools don't teach us about human relationships for the, I mean, they do some now, which is so great, but you know, the more the better in terms of who are we and how do we treat this other person. When we remember the Namaste prayer and that we're all connected and we're all one, it changes the story because then our ego drops away, mm-hmm. and I can be vulnerable and I can say, okay, Melissa, this is what I'm going through. Would you listen to me? And I'd appreciate your input. You know, there's there's all only beauty there, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes it's just one sentence from another person that changes your life. That happens.
That is so profound right there.
Okay. Yeah.
That is so profound. And it can change your life in a negative or a positive way.
That too. Yes. That's the person you don't want to go to.
Yeah, but you're right. It can be just that one sentence.
Or maybe you need to hear that. You know, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like if you have a really good friend and they're speaking the truth, that you can say, oh, boy, that really gets to me. And I will look at it.
Yeah. Because.
Yeah, asking for help. If we ask our best listeners, they're going to be able to say that to us. Hey, Elaine, I think you're going in a really bad direction here.
Yeah.
And let's figure that out. And then if my ego's not involved, I'm going to be grateful. See, it's the ego that does the damage in all these situations. I have to be the perfect mom. Yeah, that kind of thing.
So how do we push that ego aside?
Yeah, or just imagine dropping that. Like, I like to see it as a costume that we wear to figure out how to cope in our lives. And then when we open to our spirituality, we get to shed that costume like a snake sheds its skin.
Oh, I love that. Because sometimes our egos are like slithering little snake that are like around and just kind of make us worse than what we actually, makes us think we're worse than what we are.
Absolutely. And so, our egos do that too.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. So our time is almost up because I want to leave time for our meditation and things like that. But, and I want to leave out with the meditation. So I don't want to do anything after that. So can you give me one last little nugget that you want to share with people that if they don't get anything else out of our conversation today, and then we'll talk about where they can find you and everything that you want them to remember?
To remember that we are so much more than what we've been told by people who didn't have enough knowledge about us. And to hang on to that part because it's always there. And from there, do the growing that you need to do so that you can always remember how very, very important you are.
I love that. Now, where can people find you at?
Okay. Everyday Soul Dances at gmail.com. I'd love to hear from people. And if people want to react to this talk today, I'd be very happy to engage in dialogue with you. I'd love that. You can get my book on Amazon. And I would love reviews. Even if you don't like my book all that much, I'd still like a review. Because Amazon likes the high numbers. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can ask your independent book store to order it for you. And, you know, all of these ways, it's very easy to get. I'm on Facebook. I have a website on Facebook that I'm going to be improving. And the Facebook is Everyday Soul Dances. And you can just go to my website, this website, and on your phone, or just type in Everyday Soul Dances and then go to the page for meditations, and they're all right there. So you could do that in 10 minutes.
That'd be something great to listen to on your phone, like when you're like maybe stuck in traffic and say, oh, I'm getting so like stressed out right now. I got so much to do. The holidays are coming up. I have X, Y, and Z. I have to go home and cook. I have to wrap all these presents. I have to shop for these people. I have to do all this stuff. Hold on. I'm stuck in traffic. What can I do to be productive?
I agree with you to a point, because if we can do that and then return to the very alert state that we need to be in traffic, but if we go too deeply into ourselves, we lose everything around us, you know, consciousness of everything around us. We don't want to do that. But in the book, I talk about mantras. And that's what I do, is repeat my mantra while I'm stuck in traffic. It's like, okay, you know, I can get crazy because this line isn't moving, or I can repeat my mantra and, okay, I'm fine, even though all this around me is kind of a mess right now.
That's so true. So are we ready to do our meditation?
I would love to.
So okay, before we do our meditation, I want to tell everybody that I will put the links where you can find Elaine in the show notes. And I want to thank you, Elaine, for coming on, because like I said, I wanted to end with the meditation. I don't want us to talk afterwards. So I wanted to get that out of the way. I wanted to thank you. I forgot to do that. So I want to thank you for coming back on and sharing.
Well, thank you for having me again. I love having these experiences. So if you ever want me to again, I'll say yes. Okay. So maybe like 3 minutes, Melissa?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So I invite you to go inside, and if you're coming, there's been a lot of energy in our talk today. It's been so much fun and so many things to think about. But let's imagine all of that going, just release it from your mind, your body, all the way down through your sacrum and the soles of your feet into the earth. Do that with the exhalation. And then when you inhale, do so slowly and deeply from your abdomen. In these next few moments, we have the opportunity to practice everything we talked about today, in terms of remembering our sacred selves, our spiritual selves. So again, release everything that you need to release in this moment on the exhalation, down deep into the earth for recycling. And then bring in fresh new air and new possibilities and a remembrance of who you really are. The rushing around and all of the things that are demanded of us in this lifetime is very, very real. It's only stuff. It's only ordinary. And if we remember that we can slow down, we can breathe deeply and return to our most sacred selves. And then a few minutes later, go back to doing all of the things we need to do, but from this quiet consciousness, it changes everything. It's easy to forget, and so we need to keep reminding ourselves. Slow, quiet, deep, centered, open, beautiful, loving, true to our highest being. All of these qualities, and even many more, are who you are. I see your beauty and your magnificence and your potentials. And I want you to see your beauty, your magnificence, and your potentials for all of the rest of your days. And I also want you to see the beauty, magnificence, and potentials of all of the other people that you meet. We are brothers and sisters to one another. We are all divine beings. And we are all helping one another on this path to loving peace. Namaste.
Chats from the Blog Cabin.
Hit subscribe
and don't miss the next episode.